Great news. Side Retired is now partnered with SeatGeek. For all ticketing needs, go to SeatGeek.com and use promo code SideRetiredPod in all capitals for $20 off your first order. We've got you covered from all things ranging from sporting events to concerts, including the New York Mets, New York Yankees, and Big Time Rush. Yes, this means we're officially taking you out to the ballgame. And now for today's episode of Side Retired Podcast. Hello and welcome to this special edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It is Dylan joined alongside James. We're going to be doing things a little bit differently today. Jack is not with us, so instead of taking you on a tour around the major leagues and talking about what it's like to be in the major leagues and everything happening from the Mets and the Yankees, we're going to go to a little bit lower and younger of a level and talk about James's baseball career. As you may know, James is now going to be entering his sophomore year at UTSA, having previously played last year at Radford University and enjoying a really successful year there. And we hope that he'll hit a bunch of more homers in the upcoming season. So what James is going to do today is he's going to take you through his recruiting process, how he got to where he is. And we know we have a very young audience. So hopefully some of the stuff James is going to be saying to you guys today is going to be relevant, is going to help you guys out. As always, reach out to us if you have any other questions that you would want us to address in the future. But I'll let James sort of take it away. And James, you can lead us in any direction that you want us to do. And I'll be here to help and guide us out in anything that you need assistance on. But sort of take it away. And wherever you want to start with this, go for it.
Thank you, Dylan. So my recruitment process probably started when my summer after my junior year of high school, just playing summer ball. I played for an organization in Houston. That was my second year ever playing summer ball. The importance of a summer ball team, it's not being on a good team or a team that wins a lot. I mean, obviously, I think maybe that'll give you a better experience winning a lot of tournaments. But it's about playing and playing in the big tournaments in your local area and playing the good competition around you. My team, we never won any tournaments. We rarely, you know, made bracket play on Sunday. But, you know, I played every game that entire summer. I had a great time with my teammates. And we played in all the same tournaments that all the good teams played in. So, you know, I was facing all the good competition. The guys that were committed at schools like Texas A&M and Texas, Texas Tech, TCU, all that. And so playing against that high-level competition, you know, the scouts from all those, you know, maybe smaller Division I schools and still the big ones are walking around these facilities all day, you know, field to field, just looking for someone that stands out, you know, looking for someone who maybe beats out that infield single, someone who's got pop. You know, you hear that crack of the bat and you turn your head and say, whoa, who just hit that? And you can't have that if you're not on the field. You know, these guys need to see you play, you know. That's really how I started getting exposure, was playing hard, playing at a high level, and just showcasing my talent. In game, I think that's the biggest thing for me. I never did any showcases. I never, you know, posted my exit velo, never did any of that stuff. Because I didn't, you know, most coaches, college coaches at least, don't really care about that. You know, like hitting the ball 98 miles an hour off a tee doesn't translate to hitting a 94 mile an hour fastball with run or with sink or with cut. I think playing is the biggest thing. If these scouts don't see you play, why are they going to want to recruit you? You know, because you're going to obviously go play for their team. They don't want to see your showcase video. They don't want to see highlights from in-game on Twitter. Great thing. I think that's fantastic. You know, you making a sweet play in the field, you know, you spotting up on the corner, you know, making good pitches, you know, hitting that single the other way with guys in scoring position. It's not just about the home runs. It's not just about the doubles. You know, it's about the situational awareness and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think scouts would much rather see you go, you know, backside ground ball off a 93-mile-an-hour fastball to drive in a run rather than you hit an 82-mile-an-hour fastball out of the yard. You know, I think most players at the Division I level can hit an 82 to an 85-mile-an-hour fastball out of the yard anytime they want to. So they're looking for those guys that are, you know, extra special and are able to do the small things, you know, that others can't. And, you know, that's the difference maker. That's the separator.
Sounds good. I know if you want to keep going, but you did mention seeing coaches at these games, at these events. If you want to talk a little about sort of what that interaction should be like with a coach, do you go up to them? Do you wait for them to talk to you? Anything about that in particular, anything when speaking with all these head coaches in general?
Yeah. So most times, you know, I played out a lot at a facility called Premier out in Tomball, Texas. And, you know, these coaches are walking around the concourse. There's about 8 fields they can, you know, walk around and see from this one concourse, walk from field to field. And, you know, I'd say, you know, if you've interacted with a coach before, you should definitely go talk to him after the game. You know, just, you know, say what's up, talk about, you know, how your weekend's been going. Just, you know, you want to have a relationship with these coaches because, you know, you want these coaches to come calling to you and say they want you at their school. You know, if you haven't interacted with a coach, I would definitely say I would wait for a coach to, you know, ask your coach or come speak with you. And when that does happen, you know, you have to treat them with respect. You know, even, you know, say you're a high level Division I recruit and a junior college coach or a Division II coach or a Division III coach comes up to you. You shouldn't just blow them off. You know, these guys, they all know each other. They're connections. It's a small world. Baseball is a small world. Everyone knows someone. And, you know, that JUCO coach you blew off just happens to be really good friends and coached with the head coach at Texas for 8 years. And you had no idea. And suddenly he goes and tells him, oh yeah, this kid's just, you know, not a guy you want in your program. You know, he doesn't care about anyone else. He just cares about himself. And he's just blowing other people off. He thinks he's better than people. So, you know, you just got to go up to him and you can tell the school you're not interested, but there's a way to do it respectfully and there's a way to not do it respectfully. And, you know, every single one of these coaches deserves your respect. You know, say what's up, introduce yourself. When they come up to you, you know, ask them a couple questions about their program. You know, if it's not a program you're interested, you know, say, thank you, coach, for, like, you know, reaching out to me, having interest in me, like liking the way I play the game. But I'm just not really interested in your program. And they'll completely understand that. I've had interactions with coaches like that, and they're very understanding. And, you know, they're very glad that you took the time to, you know, respectfully tell them how you feel. And you were honest with them about how you felt about their program.
So we've talked about summer and we've talked about the importance of those games. How about throughout the rest of the year when you're training with your high school team and everything like that? How important is your high school coach? How early did you have this conversation with your high school coach that, hey, I want to keep going on to the next level? Or is that sort of a mutual understanding with coach? So just in general, the high school aspect of everything.
Yeah. So your summer ball coach doesn't really, you know, most coaches aren't going to ask about your summer ball coach, you know, talk to your summer ball coach about your play or, you know, kind of stuff. I mean, you just don't have that kind of relationship with your summer ball coach. You're with them for 3 months. That's really it. But your high school coach is the main person they're going to talk to. You know, that's someone who's probably been around baseball longer, has sent guys to programs, you know, knows what programs are looking for, you know, because they also probably want to coach at the level that they're sending you to. And they want to form connections with these coaches and these schools that you're looking at. So, yeah, I'd say it's a mutual, you know, most high school coaches can tell what kids want to and, you know, have that desire, have that drive to play at the next level. And, you know, I think my coach had that understanding with me, probably by the end of my, you know, when COVID ended with my junior season. But yeah, I mean, for your high school coach, I mean, they're the ones that see you from the fall to the spring. I mean, they're the ones that practice with you every day. They see how hard you work, that they see your effort level, how much you care, your character, you know what I mean? They interact with your teachers. They know how you are in the classroom. And all that stuff matters to college schools. You know, good grades, having good behavior, you know, being respectful of other people, all that matters. You know, these schools are looking for people with the right character, the right charisma, you know, to come represent their school and come represent their program. So yeah, I'd say my high school coach played a huge part in my recruitment. You know, he knew the kind of guy I was, how hard I worked on and off the field. And, you know, he played a huge role in helping me get the opportunity to play at the next level.
Sounds good. And then say, for example, I don't know how much in detail you can actually say or can't say, but in general, say we have guys who are already in their junior year. They're starting to talk to coaches and they don't know what the next step is. How do they know which school is the one that they want to pursue the most? Or is it a matter of they have to wait for which school is going to pursue them? So in general, how did it kind of go down between you and Radford in general? And I don't know how much you can actually say, but in between that time where you realized, hey, I want to play college ball, and it started to become a reality versus, okay, Radford is actually the school I'm going to go to, sort of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, as coaches reach out, you can tell how interested a school is. You know, if a coach is calling you every day, checking in on you, asking how, you know, asking about what you're planning on, what you got coming up for the summer. You know, they call you a couple days later and they ask you how that was. Like, that's the kind of relationship you build, and you can start to see which coaches really want you and which ones don't. You know, if guys are calling you once a week, just asking, hey, what's up? Not really asking about your stats, not really, you know what I mean? Interacting with you all that much. I'm not saying they don't want you, but, you know, Radford was really a step above in calling me, checking in on me, asking how, you know, how I was feeling about the program, if I needed to see, you know, if I need to come up and see, do a visit, all this stuff, you know, really making sure that I understood what their program was about, what their program stood for. And how, you know, they kept telling me why they really wanted me. You know, they showed me that they had a plan for me, if I decided to choose their school, what they thought, you know, my role would be coming in as a freshman. And I was really interested in all that. I was like, wow, like this is really, you know, a place I could see myself playing, a place I could see myself thriving in, and somewhere where I'd be able to, you know, play my game and excel. I think I chose the right spot for my freshman season, and I really enjoyed it. And I was able to have, you know, a pretty good year after my injury.
Sounds good. And then I know a lot of colleges, I'm not exactly sure if Radford did or didn't, but a lot of schools have individual prospect camps where a D1 school will host it. For example, in DC, you could have Georgetown host a college or host a showcase / prospect camp, and then a bunch of other D3 schools would latch on to that as well. Do you recommend going to those if you're serious about attending a specific college, or did you not really go to any of those, stuck to playing with your summer team?
No, I never went to any of those. I mean, I just, coaches really want to see you playing game. I mean, that's where they get the best perception of you as a player. I feel like those workouts maybe can benefit some people. You know, if the coach is really telling you they want to see you play, they haven't seen you play enough and they really want to see you in this, you know, environment and see you at the field, then yeah, I would say go for it. But I mean, if you're interested in going to play to school and you haven't talked to the coach and you think just going to their camp is going to get you an invite, or, you know, it probably won't. I'd say most of those camps are for kids to, you know, try and generate some revenue for the program. I'm not saying that for every school, but I mean, I don't know. I never participated in stuff like that after I was a little kid. You know what I mean? I didn't participate in that for my college recruitment. But you know, maybe people have said that's worked, and I'm sure it has. But for me, I did not do any of that myself.
All righty. And then James obviously had a great season this past year with Radford. He overcame COVID. He overcame an injury. Had a successful season, and then he's now transferring over to UTSA. So if you also want to mention, we could have some listeners that are going through that same process where they might be at a school right now and figure, hey, maybe this isn't the greatest fit for me, or I've done all I can at this school, but now it's time to go on to something bigger and better. In general, what was that whole transfer portal experience like for you? And now probably winding up in a great spot in UTSA.
Yeah. So, you know, just didn't have, just an unfortunate circumstance at Radford. You know, I was able to get out in the portal, you know, try and explore, you know, what I wanted to do. I wanted to find a place where, you know, they wanted me as much as I wanted to be there. You know, obviously being closer to home would have been a huge plus. And yeah, so, you know, I entered the transfer portal, I'd say maybe an hour, 2 hours after I entered. People were already reaching out to me via email, via Twitter, DM, coaches, you know, telling me to call them. I'd say about 15 to 20 programs had reached out to me. And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, you go from somewhere where you thought you were going to be all 4 years, and suddenly you're having to quickly, you know, listen to all these coaches' pitches of why you should choose them, and, you know, what makes, what sets them apart, what their plan for me is. And luckily I was able to UTSA had recruited me out of high school a little bit, not as hard as some other schools had. So I reached out to them, and I was able to talk with Coach Aguayo and Coach Hallmark, you know, listen to them say that they really were interested in me. They quickly jumped on having me come up for a visit that weekend after they'd reached out to me. And yeah, they were really the first school that had wanted me to visit and were able to have me as soon, you know, most other schools were out recruiting for the summer. And, you know, had pushed me back to about a week or two, you know, a couple of weeks, which I very much understood. But when UTSA said they wanted to have me on campus as soon as possible, you know, let me pick a day out that worked for me and my family, that was a huge plus. And then hearing their pitch, you know, seeing the facility, seeing the campus, you know, getting to talk with all the coaches there, you know, they had a nice PowerPoint presentation laid out of their, you know, what their philosophy is as a program, you know, how they're very hitting oriented and how they like to build hitters. And, you know, like, you know, the biggest thing they said is, you know, we like to let our guys hit, you know, we like to let our hitters hit, like, you're here for a reason, blah, blah, blah. And I really love their pitch. And I told them as soon as they were done that I was in, this was somewhere where I could see myself, you know, pursuing my academic career and pursuing my athletic career for the next 3 years. I was really happy with how they treated me through the whole process, how interested they were in me, and how they were able to, you know, get me an individualized plan that would hopefully set me up for success and hopefully give me an opportunity to play at the next level if I was, you know, if I work hard enough and can accomplish that.
Awesome. So I guess since we are nearing the end, we will say the one piece of advice, if you could go now that you're a full year into your college career, you've now settled down at UTSA, if you could go back to that in the middle of COVID James and tell him one piece of advice about what's going to happen over the next, I guess, 3 years now, 2 years or so, what would you tell him other than the fact that, you know, you're going to be stuck in COVID for the next year?
I just say that you never know who's watching. You know, Radford wasn't, you know, they were in Virginia. You know, they never saw me play in person. You know, they saw some stuff I had on Twitter and I guess they really liked it and they reached out to me. So you never know who's watching. You never know who has a connection. You know, you never know who's going to call who. So whether it's a summer ball practice in the middle of nowhere on a Thursday night at like 8 p.m., or if you're playing at 8 a.m. at whatever field and you don't think that there would be a scout in the stands because it's 8 a.m. on a Sunday and you're playing in the loser's bracket game, you're wrong. There is. There's definitely a coach there. So you should always, you know, bust your ass, try your best. Because I think if you do that and you really do want to play at the next level, you're going to get an opportunity. I can tell you, you're going to get an opportunity because whether it's D1, D2, D3, JUCO, there's always a school that's looking for someone that's going to do whatever it takes to play at the next level.
All righty. And then of course, always reach out to coaches, text, email, phone calls are always important. Anything to just get in their faces. You don't want to be just another name on the wall. So as James said earlier, make a personal connection with them. Make sure to reach out to coaches, say hi to them, say who you are, repeat your name, play in games, show them your hustle. Everything matters on and off the field, full person, academics matter, everything like that, that James has echoed over the past 20 or so minutes. Everything is important.
Yeah. I think one other thing is you don't want to handicap yourself by not having the academics to play at the next level. I think that that would really, you know, you think, oh, like 2.8 GPA is fine. Oh, a 3 GPA is fine. You can get so much more, you know, even academic money if you just have a 3.5 GPA. You know what I mean? I think the school side really does matter. And, you know, coaches do care about their team GPA. They do care about the academic side. And so that matters. Like, you had a 3.5, a 3.8, a 4.0. Coaches are going to like you even more. Like, that does matter to them. So don't take your academics lightly, because it could really help you in the recruiting process.
And I know, I assume a lot of colleges have this. I know Georgetown does have it, in that there is a mandatory team GPA to participate in the league. And sort of the coaches established, we want a team GPA of whether it's 3.6, 3.7, something like that. So if you're one of those guys that's really far up there in the 3.9, 4.0 range, as James is saying, that's going to give you that extra bonus of, say, you have the same amount of homers, doubles, RBIs as a kid, but you also thrive in that area off the field. That's going to give you that extra leg up that the other kid might not have. So
I agree 100%, because while your grades can help you a little bit, they can hurt you so much more than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you, James. This is definitely a different side of the Side Retired podcast, but I think it was definitely fun, and hopefully you guys enjoy this. As always, if you have more questions that you want James or any of us to help you and assist you in any of this, reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at Side Retired Pod.
Or reach out to me.
Yeah, as well, James.
I'll respond to any questions. Any questions, comments, concerns that you have, I will gladly answer.
Yeah, we will not be big leaguing you here at Side Retired. James's Twitter is at James Tausig. Pretty easy for you guys to remember. So unless there's anything else you want to add, and of course, if there's more questions, we will definitely make a part two of this, but hopefully this at least helps you and figure out sort of, if you're that sophomore or that junior that wants to play, this hopefully gives you a step in the right direction of knowing what you're supposed to start doing at least, and help you figure out. It is only the end of June. There's still 2 months left of summer. It is not too late for you to start implementing any of this stuff that we mentioned today. So
also, there are still kids signing to go Division I right now. The College World Series just ended, and there are schools still looking for spots to fill, you know, with the MLB draft coming up, you know, with transfer portal stuff. So yeah, I've seen kids signing like today, Division I schools. So that for next season. So do not give up on yourself, even if it, you know, even after you're done with your senior year of high school, there is still a team or an opportunity waiting for you. You know, if you have the talent and if you really want it that badly.
All righty. Well, thank you, James. We will be back, of course, next week with a bunch of back to our regular sort of Side Retired content. So if you enjoyed this, let us know. We'll definitely make you part two. We have a bunch of fun interviews, including one from a person who's involved with the Pioneer League in baseball, which is trying out some of the fun rules that Rob Manfred has teased about MLB. Those rules are actually implemented in the Pioneer League, so definitely make sure to check that out. James, thanks so much for doing this. For Dylan, James, and Jack, unless there's anything else you want to say.
Nope, all good.
All good. All right, you can say it for this episode to end us off, because you did a lot of the talking today.
And the side is retired.
Boom.